Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast, your team this week to look ahead to some intriguing action from Warwick and Kempton are myself, Bruce Millington, and Keith Milrose and David Jennings. We've got five races from Warwick on ITV4. We've got four at Kempton. And then we'll be seeing what else the lads fancy on Saturday. We'll get the naps and we'll look ahead to Sunday when the mighty Bob Olinger is back in action over in Punchestown. And there's an intriguing clash at Kelso that's caught my eye. I would like to know what Keith makes of that. We'll start, though, with Warwick and the 118, which is the first of our TV races. Just the four runners for the two-mile Alder, Domain and Acres PMS, Oxford Edward Courage Cup Handicap Chase, brackets GBB race, brackets class two. And rough odds are 11-8 favourite Brave Seasker, 11-4 not available, 130 Sky Pirate, and 7-1 Fast Buck. Who fancies going first? I'm not sure either of you will be playing your joker, but we'll see who you fancy. And we'll start with David Jennings. How are you, old Bean?
I'm very good. We're starting on a four-runner race, and you know, a four-runner race, you'd think I'd have a strong opinion, but I really don't.
It might not be the only one on the show as well, because the Silvini Arco Conti certainly got a few people scratching their head, but we'll come to that.
An opinion on that, all right.
Okay.
Horrible race.
I thought this was tricky. I thought this was tricky. I thought Brave Seasker was good last time. Obviously, going back left-handed is going to be a big asset to Brave Seasker, but I just thought Fast Buck was worth chancing at the prices. He's obviously been disappointing since he left Willie Mullins, but I thought there was more sign of life last time behind Brave Seasker. And he is absolutely plummeted down the weights. Like, he's down to a mark of 133 now. Like, this time last year, he was running against Shishkin and he was rated 145. So I just think it's one of those races where I know it's always said, you know, you should try the outsider of three in a race, but I actually think this might be a time when you can chance the outsider of four.
Okay. Fast Buck is DJ's opening gambit. What about you, Keith?
Definitely see where DJ's coming from with Fast Buck generally, with sort of how far he's fallen and just that little glimmer of promise last time at Ascot. But overall in this race, I think you could make the case for Brave Seasker being shorter than he is. He's just been duffing up everything that's got near him on his recent starts. Tokidoki, who he beat here two starts ago, has won since. And that race at Ascot was relatively strong, albeit the main danger fell like six out. I don't think not available has been really admirable, but I don't think he's actually a two-miler. If he's going to improve any further, I think he'll need a little bit further than this. And Sky Pirate is probably too high in the weights off 157, so I couldn't really have any of those. Like Fast Buck, 7-1, you can sort of see it a little bit. But I thought if I was pricing this race up, I'd have had Brave Seasker about 6-5, 11-10. So I think he is 11-8. That's a more than sporting price.
Jolly good. We move on to the 150 at Warwick. 3 miles is the trip. The Wiggly Group Hampton Novices Chaser Grade 2 is the race. And we've got five runners now. And we've got an odds on Fav. 3 under through 5 at round about 8-13. Mint condition is 9-2. Doyen Breed 13-2. And it's 14 any news. 20 Mossy Fen. Any value in there, Keith?
I don't think so, to be honest. 3 under through 5, unless it really rains hard, because deep ground's not a known for him. He does jump a little bit big into the right, but he's basically a graded horse running against handicappers in essence and should win this. Mint condition's technically close on ratings, but I thought he was a little bit fortunate to win at Haydock last time, to be perfectly honest. He'll love 3 miles, but I think 3 under through 5 is a better horse than him by quite a way. I'll be watching the race because 3 under through 5 could be competitive in the big spring novices, and I think any of the other four could be ones to watch for handicaps. I think certainly a couple of them look like they're going to feature in spring handicaps to my eyes. So very keen watching race, but I'd be surprised if I have a bet.
Okay, I would be surprised if there's any rain, even allowing for my mistrust of weather forecasts. The forecast for the next week or so is very nice. So ground should start drying out. Do you share Keith's confidence in 3 under through 5, David Jennings?
Sure, he'll probably win. But you've got to chance Mossy Fen at 20-1. You just have to. You just have to chance him. Like, you just have to say to yourself, right, this is worth a fiver or whatever, a 20-1, because there is every chance that Mossy Fen is still the most talented horse in this race. Like, when you go back to his novice hurdle days, he was fifth in the Ballymore behind Envoy LN. Now, Envoy LN obviously hasn't turned out to be the horse that that we thought he was. But when you look at the horse he was running against, he was ahead of Sham Blue. He was ahead of Sporting John. He was a very good novice hurdler who is absolutely built for chasing. And we all thought he was going to be a super chaser. And it obviously went astray behind Galvin on his first run over fences at Cheltenham. And I think he got a real fright that day. He made one desperate mistake at the second. I think he got a fright. And then next time he came back to Cheltenham for the open meeting, and he still seemed to be feeling the effects of that, I thought. He's had a long time off. He's had 428 days. He's now with Christian Williams. He's had two winners. Two of his last nine runners have actually won. And I just think at 20-1, you've got to chance him because you know the talent is there. I think he still could make a nice chaser.
DJ's put up Mossy Fenn in that 300-3.5 race. What do you think of that?
I don't even know it was running. It's not that much
fun. Righto. Keels thinks Mint Condition will win that.
Does he? I mean, it'll have to turn into a plod, I think. I mean, Mossy Fenn.
Say, Kate? Sorry, mate, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, I was saying that Mossy Fenn. I mean, I could again, it's a bit like the last race. DJ's gone for an outsider, and it's an absolutely legitimate shout. I would have done the same, but for the fact he looked like he hated it on his starts for Twister. So he's got that to overcome as well as a break.
Okay, we move on to the 225 at Warwick, which is the Ballymore Leamington Novices Hurdle over 2 miles and five. Often a race that throws up a few festival clues. We've just got seven runners, so that kind of stymies each way betting. But Surrey Quest is the fav at 2-1 for Hendo. And then it's 3-1 Party Business, 9-2 Staghorn, 5-1 Viva La Villa, and 12-1 Bar. Who's going to go first here? David Jennings, you can go first. Who's going to win?
Yeah, Mossy Fenn actually won this 2 years ago, would you believe?
So he did, yeah. I was just looking through the past winners. The new one, Willoughby Court. Yeah, some decent ones, isn't there?
Yeah, there definitely is. It often throws up a good one. I remember Willie Mullins brought over, was it Thomas Hobson once upon a time to win this? And I think he had the second as well with Open Eagle. But yeah, it's disappointing. None of these are going to be remotely competitive in a Ballymore. I think Surrey Quest will probably win. I just like his profile. I thought last time at Doncaster, he was even more impressive than the winning margin. He won by 7 lengths, but he was all over the place coming down to the last. He looked like he was still learning his craft. He's rated 135. I could see him going probably £10 higher than that to America, maybe 145. And it looks a good piece of placing by Nicky Henderson. He should win, Surrey Quest.
Righty-ho, DJ finally rose in with a fav. What are you going to do here, Keith?
I was surprised when I looked at the hurdle races this weekend that my dabbling with the stairs during the summer on the flat is going to actually come in handy. Staghorn is quite an interesting, he's a very talented horse. He didn't really get the chance to show it in 2021 on the flat, but before that he had looked like a bit of a soft ground monster on the flat. And he still won at Pontefract. I mean, the form of that race was really quite iffy, but he showed he still had most of his ability there. He jumped at Hereford on his hurdles debut like he hadn't, you know, he's not quite there in terms of the jumping of hurdles, but it was his first run and they've had 5 weeks since. And he just showed when he went from two out to the last, he just extended and put lengths into them, no problem at all. And I don't think Sheehan raised a whip once to get him home. On flat form, he's actually really quite a good horse. You know, he's 108 RPR, which is, you could just about pick up a listed race with that level of form. So he's a really classy flat sort. He handles soft ground. He's got room to definitely improve on that jumping. They wouldn't have turned him. He's that good on the flat. They wouldn't have turned to hurdling unless they thought they could win a big race. So yeah, I think Staghorn is what I'm very interested in. And in a race where, as DJ points out, you've not got a Willie Bicourt. You've not got a new one in this race this year. Definitely the sort of time when you can take on a horse with Staghorn's ability at about 9-2.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Warwick then. It's the Agatour UK Limited Classic Handicap Chase. 3 miles and 5 furlongs on soft ground, so you're going to need to stay. 15 runners, and if you look at Paddy Power, Sky Bet and William Hill, you will get 5 places. Roughly best prices as we speak. 4-1 Fav Jericho Roque, 5-1 Korak Rambler, 8-1 Paddle Your Own Canoe, 9 No Rematch, 9 Not a Chance, 10 Achille, and 12 Bar. Keith, this is your sort of thing, a nice big field. Stamina test over the larger obstacles.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? like it's a really hard race this time. Sometimes I look at these races and I think, oh yeah, I'm definitely backing that. That's the one, that's the one. And I spent ages, I've written the premium analysis for the paper for this race, and it took me ages to think, come down on a horse. I thought, yeah, I'm backing that. I thought at one point I might not bet. My bet has been, it's a bit of a win-only bet because it is a deep race and this horse isn't the sort of horse you might want to go swinging in on, but No Rematch has been placed really well, I think. He looked pretty good. I mean, he's only run twice over fences. And if he was a novice, like Korak Rambler or Jericho Rock, he wouldn't have been eligible for this race. Novices need to have run three times to get in races like this. He's only run twice, but because he won his chasing debut in February, he doesn't have to adhere to that three-run rule. So he gets in after two chase starts. And he was really impressive at Chepstow in February when he won. And then he got pulled up at Exeter last time behind a young warrior. But he led turning in. And you could just about see this sputtering engine as he hit the wall approaching that fourth last. He just was really tired and got pulled up in the end. He's Evan Williams trained. He's owned by the Ruckers. There was probably a race in mind when he ran at Exeter, and it wasn't that one. It could well be this one. He gets bounced out in front, which can be quite important in these, or certainly in most of these races, and certainly at Warwick, where they have those five rat-a-tat fences down the back and only have maybe 3.5-4 furlongs to run after three out. So I want a prominent racer. There's loads of unexposed sorts, so you probably want to be with one of them. And I thought No Rematch was the most interesting of the lot, but I've not even backed him for a place because he is the sort of horse that could bomb out. I may bottle it and do that in the end, but at the moment it's been win only on No Rematch.
Okay, and by the way, we should mention, Keith, well done last week with the big veterans chase at Sandown. Wasn't that great? Excellent tip, that, wasn't
Thanks.
It? Brilliant.
And as I pointed out, there's a difference between Sandown. They're both like loads of fences down the back. But from the last railway at Sandown, you've got 5.5 furlongs to run and a big uphill finish and really deep ground. Whereas at Warwick, you've got about 3.5 furlongs to run dead on the flat. So Prime Venture couldn't have done what he did last week had they run the race at Warwick, I don't think. Valadon would have had more chance of staying out in front because of the way the courses are configured. It's maybe the one thing against Korak Rambler here. You want a horse that probably races prominently in the Classic Chase.
Okay, DJ, over to you.
Yeah, Keith is good at these handicap chases, I have to say. He pulled Prime Venture out of somewhere last week. I thought that was a hell of a shout. I really like one in this. Paddle Your Own Canoe. For Dan and Harry Skelton. I think this is a plot. I think this could go off really short. I think it's definitely a horse who's been aimed at this race. If you remember, the Skeltons had Captain Chaos in this race for the last 2 years, and he was a big gamble in the race last year. But I just think of Paddle Your Own Canoe. He's one of these horses that just plods, just keeps going at the one pace. And I just watched his hurdle race at Haydock. It was a stable debut for the Skeltons back in December. And that told me there was still life in this dog yet. He is going to win a nice handicap off this mark. He's down to 135. He was running off 140 for the Tizzards last year, or in the summer, sorry, of 2020. And he was running reasonably well. He was 4 to Manila Celebration. He wasn't beaten that far in the Summer Cup. And he's just the ideal type I want for this race. He's a prominent racer who stays, who's not fully exposed over fence. He's only had 5 runs. And I think the Skeltons might be able to get another bit of improvement out of him. I just really like his profile for the race. And I think he could have the guts of £8 to £10 in hand. So if he gets into a good rhythm early, I'll be very sweet on Paddle Your Own Canoe, Bruce.
Okay, thank you, chaps. So Keith goes for No Rematch and DJ's stuck his oar in and says Paddle Your Own Canoe. Thank you very much.
That's very good, Bruce.
It's not really, is it? 3:35 at Warwick. The Potence Network Handicap Hurdle Qualifier, 3 miles, 1 furlong on the trip. 7 runners. You only need to finish in the first 6 to qualify for the final at Cheltenham, which is intriguing. Riggs is Fav at 11-4. Alaphilippe, 3-1. 9-2, Sporting John. 5-1, Third Wind. 9-1, The Jam Man. 12-1, Sire de Burleigh. And 20-1, Keeper Hill. DJ, Sire de Burleigh can't go unbacked at 12s, can he?
I did a column on this for tomorrow, Bruce. I just think this has turned into a farce altogether, to be honest with you. The Pretend series to me is just a bit of a joke. Like, 6 of these horses will qualify for the final. How many of these 7 absolutely really, really, really want to win? As much as we hate to admit it, Cheltenham winners are the be all and end all for owners who have jumped horses in training. And I would say each of these 7 horses want to win the final, they're not going to be overly pushed about winning the qualifier. The qualifiers winners have an absolutely desperate record in the final. Two in the last, you think of how many qualifiers there are. There used to be 14. There's not as many now. Two in the last 22 years have won the final. Fingal Bay, because he was a class act and he was a grade one horse. And there was only one other winner of a qualifier. So it goes to 200 qualifiers and you've only got two horses who have won the final.
I think that's incredible. That's amazing.
The other good stat is that Gordon Elliott's won the final three times and won one qualifier.
Yeah. Like, I genuinely think Sporting John will win the final. I don't think he'll win the qualifier. So I don't know how you look at this race. Like, I don't know how you can approach this race and say to yourself, right, what's going to win? The only outcome I have come to is that Riggs will win, because he probably will get into the race anyway, but he's rated 132. You know, maybe if it was an exceptional pretense, he might struggle to get in, but he will get in. I think 1-2 something got in last year. He's a 7-year-old who's on the improve. He hasn't shown his hand fully yet. Like, he might still be improving. I think the rest of them are all, we know how good they are, and we wonder, can they get back to that level, like Sire de Burleigh, Sporting John, even the Jam Man Over Fences, who was brilliant when he won the Tri-Town. It's just, to me, the mind boggles how this Pretemps series is still on the go.
Interesting. So that's it in tomorrow's newspaper, is it, or on racingpost.com? That comment,
yeah, look, it's in tomorrow's newspaper. I understand that it's the game we're in, and there's an element of, you know, disguising yourself for a Cheltenham handicap in all the handicaps. You're not going to see every horse that runs in the Coral Cup or the County Hurdle has been absolutely out for its life on every start it's ran that season. I understand that completely, but I just think the Pretemps series is different. You need to finish in the first six, and recent evidence suggests the nearer you finish the six, the better. The better. That's real mean. The better.
Okay, well, we'll see. So you're doing your best to put me off Sire de Burleigh. Keith, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I think Sire de Burleigh, I think DJ's point generally about this race and how, or the series, and how horses, you know, the aim is just to get qualified for these races. And I definitely agree with the broad point that a lot of these horses are running to get qualified rather than win. And that's, I don't think that's a controversial point to make. And Elliot had 9 entries here, and he even used the race to just, well, I think the understanding is that the trainers in Ireland do that to get a look at the BHA marks, which aren't published anywhere unless you're entering your horse. So to do that as well, to just try and get a look at the handicap mark. And that might have influenced the lack of runners in this race. I think there is one, at least, in here that where the connections have thought, you know what, Cheltenham's not going to give the conditions to this horse the way this race would. And that's Third Wind, who generally goes well in deeper ground. They'll have run here today, and if it dries out a little bit, it might not be perfect for him. But he is, you come to Warwick in January in the expectation of getting good soft ground there. So I expect Third Wind will be more than most sort of tuned up and ready to run a big race at this time of year, more than some others. But yeah, the general point about the Pretemps series holds. It's really good though, because it helps you identify who's going to be there to run the race of their life and who's there looking for sixth. And that's part of the reason I can't back Sire de Burleigh.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, gents. That was Warwick. We're going to look at Kempton in just a moment.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. So there are 4 races at Kempton supporting the 5 at Warwick. And the first of them is the 132. 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs for the Coral. Fail to finish, 3 bets. Handicap Chase, 7 runners. Champagne Court, 11-4 Fav. Cap O'Tay, 7-2. Foxborough, 9-2. Fanzio, 6-1. Falco Blitz, 7-1. And it's 12-1 Bar. Keith, you can go first. Have you anything tickle your fancy here?
Yeah, I sort of hummed and hawed about this race a little bit, but I came down on one relatively sweetly in the end. Champion Court has had some bad runs of jumping over fences. Capitoy's win record's really good, but God, he didn't have to make hard work of it at Fontwell last time when he was stooping a conquer. I have gone for Foxborough. There was a little bit because he ran on Boxing Day at Wincanton, And there was an element that that was the day and he got beat by a veteran. But, you know, it was the day his first time really in Britain, because he used to wear cheap pieces in France for his good form. And that was the first time in Britain he'd worn them again when he ran at Wincanton on Boxing Day. His mark had slipped right down. I think it's come down about £18 since he came from France. And he would have won that race had he not missed the last. It was a bit of a sprint. Native Robin, who won the race, got a better ride or a more positive ride. It turned into a sprint. Foxborough was coming to win, missed the last, finished second by half a length. He would have won. He's got up £1 for it, and he's got Angus Kaleda on his back now, and Angus claims £5, and he's actually pretty good value for it too. This is a race that I think is pretty weak. It's a not 140, but you know, I've seen not 130s that are stronger than this, to be perfectly honest. So I'm not that concerned about Foxborough going up in class from what he ran in on Boxing Day. You know, you look at him and he's only a point and a half shorter than Fanzio. He should be beating that horse all day on with where they are in the handicaps at the moment. So yeah, Foxborough's a little bit of a fancy for me at 9-2.
DJ, quiz for you. Which famous sporting team play in Foxborough?
Oh, is this Jamie Johnson? No? Do you know the kids' programme? Are they called Foxborough?
No.
Have you ever seen the kids' show? Sorry, have you ever seen the kids' show Jamie Johnson?
Why would I watch that?
I'm going to ask you. It's fantastic. You should be more like... You'd be more likely than us, Bruce, wouldn't you? Because you're sort of kids that age. You're like DJ,
well, my
surely.
Kids are 27 and 21. I mean, they were Blue right. Peter, Grange Hill kind of era. What are you on about?
Yeah, Bruce,
I can guarantee you this, Bruce, right? It's a kids program, right? But it is absolutely amazing. Just watch one episode at some stage when you're 20 minutes free. Just watch one episode of Jamie Johnson. The way it's done is absolutely fantastic. And I think the team that he plays for in it is called Foxborough.
Okay, well, that's not the answer, but that's very interesting. That's the second children's program recommendation I've had on a show this week, because when we did The Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer, he's obsessed with someone called Maddie Moat. Have you seen her? Because you've both got young kids.
That's more the era for my kids, because I'm far too old for something like Jamie Johnson, and my kids are still far too young for CBBC. But yeah, I know about Maddie. She shows you how stuff works. It's great.
Yeah.
It's like how to for kids of this day.
Right, Keith, you know the answer to my question, don't you?
I have no idea.
The answer is the New England Patriots. Right, meanwhile, who wins the... where are we? I've completely lost track. DJ, who wins the 132?
Yeah, while we're on the kids' programs, George is mad into Fireman Sam at the minute, and I figured out that if I ever own a horse, my first horse is going to be called Norman Price, because he's my favorite character in any show. But I fancy Falco Blitz here for Nicky Henderson. I think this could be a Nicky Henderson benefit meeting at Kempton. I think he's got a load of big chances. Bit of a disappointing comeback run at Bangor, but it was the second week of November. Nicky's hadn't been on grass yet. They were getting no rain on the gallop. And I just think a lot of Nicky's weren't firing at the time. He was well enough back that day. He only went off 6-1. But I think the return to Kempton, I think, is going to suit him. I think 2.5 miles is perfect. And I think he's well handicapped off 1.39. So Falco Blitz.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to the 2.05 at Kempton. It's the Coral Silviniaco Conti Chase, grade 2. 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, and we mentioned at the start, there's only 4 runners, but boy, is this difficult. Mr. Fisher is fav at 7-4. Eldorado Alen is 11-4. And then we've got Rouge Vif at 100-30, and it's 9-2, Defi de Soy. David Jennings, where on earth do you start with this?
It's some bag of tricks.
Oh, no, actually, no, of course. You're the founding member of the Mr. Fisher fan club. I presume you think this is easy, don't you?
I'd like to think I was one of the founding members of the Defi de Soy fan club as well. I absolutely adored him once upon a time. I'm a big fan of Rouge Vif, and I backed Eldorado Allen without Shishkin in the Arca last year, so he'd done me a turn. But like the long and the short of it is, Mr. Fisher simply has to win this race, Bruce. There's no other explanation. if he does not win this, just like. There's been so much spoken about him, and even like when he went into the Supreme One by Classical Dream, there was a lot of big statements made going into that race by people in the Henderson camp who thought he was going to be the next big thing. He hasn't done it. There's a lot of talk. He needs to walk the walk now. And the fact that he has only completed 2 of his last 6 starts tells a story. Like, he's been pulled up 3 times, like, for what we think is a top class chaser, to be pulled up 3 times. Now, they have been in the Ryanair King George, and the Paddy Power chase at Cheltenham. But still, that's three big blots on your copybook. The point is, his two completed starts, he gave 3 pounds to Kalashnikov in the reroute at Peterborough chase that went to Cheltenham, and he almost beat Froden. When I say he almost beat Froden, he should have beaten Froden in the Oaksy chase at Sandown on the last day of the season. I don't know how much he wanted to win that race, and I certainly think Froden wanted to win it more. But you have to... you have to realise what type of race he's running in here. He's running a four-runner race where Depi Desai is definitely not as good as he was. Rougevif is running over 2.5 miles for the first time. And for all that I love Eldorado Allen, he's simply not good enough. Mr. Fisher is the best horse in this race. He bounced back from a terrible run in the Paddy Power to win the Peterborough last year in a second run. So I'm not too worried about being pulled up in the King George. This is his bread and butter. These are his terms and conditions. And if he does not win this race, we are finished.
Okay, well, there you go. That is proof that David Jennings is the most loyal human being on the planet. Now, when we mentioned this race earlier in the show, Keith, I think I heard you say horrible race.
Elaborate. I mean, it's because you've got four recognizable horses and four very talented horses, but God, what a horrible looking betting race this is. Couldn't trust any of them as far as I could throw them in these conditions, except maybe Eldorado Allen, who, as DJ points out, he's carrying a £6 penalty when he'd be the least able horse of the four anyway on their peak form. Rougevif, Nichols has said since the minute he got this horse, it's a spring horse. So I can't imagine this is anything more than sort of a bit of a pipe opener, or a bit of a try and see. Depi Desai, we've said he's gone several times. Is he gone for good this time? He's 9. Mr. Fisher, look, what DJ says, if you had the history with Mr. Fisher, DJ Duds, you'd almost certainly see what he's just said there, because he is the best horse in this race. The form on which he's the best horse in this race isn't that old. But, God, I couldn't trust this horse enough to back him at that. So I might have a little go at Eldorado Allen if he drifts a bit. But
no, don't. He's not good enough. He won't win.
Nothing else wants it, though, DJ. Mr. Fisher gets one.
I know, but he gets one
or a letter. Yeah, maybe they will. It's just, but that's why it's a horrible race. And I mean, I feel sorry for saying this about a race like this, because, you know, you've got four good chasers have turned up in a race that didn't exist 5-10 years ago.
Interesting, isn't it, Keith? I mean, you know, sometimes you get four-runner race and they're all banging form and you're very excited. But with this, there is a sort of certain kind of weird intrigue, isn't there, given how
powerful they all
are.
I compare it with a Hampton we talked about, the 3-under-2-5 race, and I'm going to learn loads from watching that, even though I might not bet in it. I'm probably not going to bet in this race, and I'm not sure what I'll learn from it either.
Let me ask you this then, Keith. If one of them's going to win it, which is the one that if they won, you would kick yourself? You would go, oh, do you know what, I probably should have stuck with that one. Is it Defi if he's the outsider of the four here?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big fan of Rougevif. I just don't think he's going to be quite there for this. There's nothing. I mean, I've detached myself enough from this race that nothing about it would surprise me. It might as well be at Crayford for all that I would have had a bet in it, to be quite honest with you.
Well, beauty of betting, Keith, is that you don't have to bet. You can let them through to the wicket keeper, and that's what you're going to do there. It's funny, you've got the forerunner Silviniaco Conti. In many respects, a lot of judges are more confounded by that than our next race, the 240, which is the Coral Lanzarote Handicap Hurdle. 20 runners go to post there, over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Here, before I give you the place update. Skybet, 7 places. William Hill, Betfair and Paddy Powers, 6. Everyone else, 5. So plenty of each way opportunities. And you're going to need it because this is wide open. Maurice Rock, 6-1 Fav. Jolino Bello 13-2, Green Book 7s, Up for Parole 9, Chitabello 10, Earthlord 11, Cobbler's Dream 12, Don Levant 12, On My Command 12, 16 Bar. Keith, away you go.
Sharp-eared listeners might have twigged this already when I talked about that horse in the Levington Novices Hurdle, but Green Book's a horse I saw quite a lot on the flat over the summer, and every single run I thought that horse has got more to give. I'd have sent him hurdling. And he's taken to it pretty well. You know, he's won 2 handicaps, lesser handicaps, but as he liked the last couple of starts. On his flat ability, I would say 130 is his new mark, is perfectly reasonable. And he gets Ned Fox taking 10 off as well. Now, you don't have to be, it is a bit damning with faint praise, but because you don't have to be the next McCoy to look good claiming 10, but Ned Fox definitely does look good claiming 10. And so this horse is getting a bit of free weight off a mark that he should be able to take advantage of anyway. I like the way he tends to get ridden. He handles soft ground on the flat, and so whatever the ground throws at him won't be an issue. He's a really, really solid option for me.
He's a bit of a sketchy jumper, isn't he? Am I right in thinking that? I think when he wore down Chitabalco at Haydock, I was thinking he's made too many mistakes, but he kept on, didn't he? Funny enough, though, Keith, sometimes when you go with a bad jumper, I almost prefer that to a good jumper, because I think the bad jumper can only improve, whereas the good jumper can only, at best, maintain that standard and could get worse.
Yeah, and in an instance like this, definitely, because this horse, you know, his last run, he ran at Goodwood, was his last run on the flat, but, you know, he's not the sort of horse that's been schooled all his life. So it can go one of two ways. They can never take to it, or they can keep improving with it. And Staghorn was the same idea, really. But yeah, I mean, when they get a bit older, you stop holding that view. But at this point in his career, you can definitely hold out hope that he'll get better.
Righty-ho. Green Book is Keith's selection. Who's David's selection?
I've liked one for this all week, Bruce. I like Quinta Dumar. It's a funny name for a horse, because I actually find it very hard to pronounce. Do you know?
No. Not remotely.
Quinta.
What's so hard about it? Why is that hard?
I don't know. They're just three words that don't seem to go well together.
I would imagine it's Portuguese resort. I'll Google it while you tell us why you fancy it.
Grant. I just thought when this horse ran at Cheltenham last time, he needed to go right-handed. He was fourth in the race that Broomfield Berg, who obviously has been impressive since, was second in at the December meeting at Cheltenham. And I thought right-handed and a step up and trip is what he was crying out for. The two times before that, he won very easily at Carlisle off mark of 121, and then he defied a £10 penalty in serious style at Fontwell, despite hanging right the whole way up the home straight. I just love his profile. I think a flat track, 2.5 miles, Luca Morgan, who I think is a really good rider, takes off £5. And I'd imagine this has been the plan for most of the season, because it looks an ideal race for him when you look at where he's won. Like, he's won at Ludlow, he's won at Carlisle, and as I said, he did win at Fontwell, but he just kept hanging to his right. I think off 135 with Luca Morgan taking off £5, I think he's well handicapped, and I think he's the exact type of unexposed horse that you need for this race. So Quinta Dumar at 16-1, I think, is a massive price.
Okay, there seem to be about 2,000 hotels in Portugal all called Quinta Dumar, so there you go. Right then, what else have we got at Kempton? One more to come. It's the 3:15 Coral Committed to Safer Gambling Handicap Chase. 3 miles is the trip, and Caribbean Boy and Smarty Wild are joint favs at 7-2. Kitty's Light is 9-2. Strictly Dancer 15-2. Wishing and Hoping 15-2. Atois Phil 17-2. Double Shuffle 10s. Matt Totty 12. David Jennings, the floor is yours.
Stop. My nap of the week is running right here, right now. It's the DJ Fancy's Caribbean Boy.
All right, okay. Do you DJ?
No.
You've done it in, Keith.
Oh, losing nap.
You're not allowed to have an actual nap now. You've got to go back. When I do the naps, then you've got to say, it is that DJ was going to tip that. Why don't you fancy Caribbean Boy?
Look. He's very well handicapped. He's just a bit of an enigma. I really fancied him in the Paddy Power, and it was just a disaster. He was terrible at the first. He was even worse at the second. He was never travelling at any stage whatsoever, and at no stage in the race did he look comfortable. Then he was well backed again at Ascot last time in that listed race, and I think I'd probably give him another chance, and he fell at the first. He went off 13-2. Off 1.45, he definitely is more talent than that, but I just think he's hard to trust, and I think I have more faith in Smarty Wild, who I actually think hasn't got particularly fantastic rides the last couple of times he's ran. I think again, like a lot of horses that are run by Kempton, I think the track does suit him, and I think he is in the right place and he's in the right race. And I do think he's got the potential to win a race easily off this sort of mark. He's done most of his racing over 2.5 miles and getting outpaced and running on in his races. But he won over 2.5 miles at Kempton in January of last year, around this time. It could have been discarded, actually. He won the 2.5 mile chase. He just looked to be crying out for 3 miles. He's only a pound higher now than when he won that race. And I just thought last time at Ludlow, I thought there was enough there to suggest to me he's ready to win again. I think there are less questions for him to answer than there are Caribbean Boy.
Rightio, DJ, thank you very much. Keith, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, there's sort of two ways to look at this one, I thought. I mean, the one that Caribbean Boy just picks them up and carries them was one, and that was part of the reason I thought DJ would go for him. And also,
hang on a sec, stop. DJ, who do you think Keith's going to go for? Let's see if you can really do him up like a kipper here.
If I was to guess, I'd say Atois Phil.
Go on then, is he right?
No, oh, that was a bad one. I mean, I was never. Thing is, if you'd said strictly a dancer, I'd have changed. Just so you're aware.
Yeah.
I'm putting up strictly a dancer because, as I said, I think I was on the podcast when we did Tingle Creek weekend. It was London National weekend, and he was morning or paper fav for that race. And I said, I don't think this horse wants 3.5, and he didn't really get home, and he ran a bit flat. 3 miles round Kempton is much more his sort of cup of tea. Before that run at Sandown, he had won at Haydock on Betfair Chase Day, beating Empire Steel, who I'm sure was about to win the Roland Merrick by a very long way when he fell 4 out. Everything else was walking by the finish, and this horse stays quite well. Strictly a Dancer did him for speed. He's now 3 miles round Kempton. Ellis Collier's on, who's a claimer that might not be familiar to many people, but he does ride Uno Mas for Christian Williams and has done very well with that horse. Strictly a Dancer, I think, has still got a bit to give of 1-2-8. I don't fancy many in this race at all. 15-2 is a big price to me.
Excellent. That was the TV action. Loads more wise words coming right up.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose and David Jennings. Let's look at what else the lads fancy on Saturday, as well as Kempton and Warwick. We've got Weatherby over the sticks. We've got all-weather action at Chelmsford and Lingfield. And we've got Fairy House as well. So we'll start with you, David. Have you got much?
No, not that much. I think Ree Oka will win the, good name for a horse, will win the 12.55 at Kempton. Last time, it ran into Jolino Bello, first time out for Harry Fry, having switched over from Stuart Crawford after winning a point. And I thought it showed a really good attitude he did at Chepstow. Really dug in and got back up to beat a complete unknown. And even the form prior to that against Jolino Bello, I thought was solid form. So I thought Rioca would win the 12.55. Then later on the card in the 3.50, I think Earth Company is still a step ahead of the handicapper for Philip Hobbs and Tom O'Brien. Was really taken when he won at Taunton, won a novice hurdle at Taunton back in November. He followed up at Wincanton, where he travelled like a dream into the race and actually had to dig in, but did dig in to get on top. He won that off 1-2-4. He's only gone up £6 to 130. And he's the type of horse that could really run up a sequence. I wouldn't be surprised if he did kind of 4 or 5 in a row. He's favourite, but I think he deserves to be. That's Earth Company in the 3.50 at Kempton. And just 2 from me at Fairy House, Bruce. The most interesting race on the card by a country mile is the Conditions Hurdle, which is at, I'll get the time for you now, it's at 12.50. And Daily Tiger did me a turn. And you a turn.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Just, yeah.
And, St. Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, as you call it, when he won at Limerick. Speaking to Sean Flanagan, actually, for a jockey tour in the paper during the week, he said he's come out of that race absolutely bouncing. He's a different level to these, especially over 2 miles. And I think he's going to have far too much pace for the likes of Animix and some others in there. So I think Daily Tiger with the 12.50 at Fairy House, hopefully he'll be about 6-4. And my final selection is going to be in the 1.24. This is a maiden hurdle, and it's an interesting race. Run for Pat goes here for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy. And I thought this was a real eye catcher when he ran at Navan last season back in March. He made a good few mistakes and looked like he was going to have a big, big chance at the second last. But he absolutely crashed through it. He was really green. And I think he could develop into quite a nice horse this spring. He's definitely one for like the festivals at Fairy House and at Punchestown. So Run for Pat is my other selection in the 1.24 at Navan.
Thank you, David. What have you got for us, Keith?
Just the one for me. It's at Wetherby, the 2:12, 5-winner race, and a former fighting fifth winner is the outsider of the field, Cornerstone Lad. I just think Francham might just win this one. He's won here already in November, and then in the Castleford Chase just over Christmas. It used to be it still is the big race, I think, on the 27th at Wetherby. Nothing else apart from McClure Danny and Cheddleton got involved in that race at all, but Francham came from rear and was going to lay down a bit of a challenge when he unseated Ford out. Gets in off the same mark here. Jack Andrews is back on, who's won on him before, and is obviously pretty decent for five. It's got a look of one of those that, I mean, I see 9-4 now. I'd be faintly surprised if that was still available once the postcast goes out, to be honest, because I think this horse should be a little bit more like the 6-4 range.
Okay, excellent. Now, I think both your naps won last week, didn't they? Am I right in thinking that?
No, mine didn't. I put up the wrong one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, yeah, you redeemed yourself with the big race winner, but DJ certainly won, so that was good. So let's see if he can follow up. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with David Jennings.
So as I said on last week's show, my aim was to go the whole of 2022 without putting up a losing nap. So it started well, thank God.
Is that why you sent the memo on Monday saying that you weren't going to appear on any more podcasts this year?
That's what Keith actually said to me.
Yeah, I made that joke in private. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have hung up my bat. And you know what? I'm going to get adventurous too, because I think Paddle Your Own Canoe is going to win the Classic Chase. I just love his profile, love everything about him. I think the skeletons will improve him. I think 8-1 is a big price. So Paddle Your Own Canoe, 3:00 Warwick.
Thank you very much. And what have you got for us, Keith?
One for Jamie Johnson. It's apparently it's Foxborough. In the 1:32 at Kempton.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much. It's now then on Sunday. It's not the deepest day of racing of all time, but there are a couple of things that very much catch the eye. David Jennings, tell us all about the star of the show at Punchestown.
Sure, it's Bob. It's all about Bob. It's funny, like when the season started and when he won his beginner's chase at Goran Park, You would have said to yourself, there's no way there can be a novice who can be as exciting as Bob Olinger, because he's just the bomb. Like, and then Gallop in the Champs comes out, obviously Fernie Hollow, Brave Man's Game. And you kind of start to forget, like people say, oh yeah, Jesus, I forgot about Bob Olinger. But he is back, and this has been the aim for quite a while. I know he was entered in the Grade 1 at Limerick, but Henry said before Christmas that he was going to go here instead. It's the race that Envoy LN won last year when Asterion Falange fell at the first. And I just can't wait to see him again. I thought people were a little bit harsh on him at Goran Park. I thought he jumped fine. You just have to realise that this horse beat Brave Man's Game by 12 lengths, with Brave Man's Game getting the run of the race out in front. He's beaten Blue Lord. He's beaten Gallard de Menil, who it looks his biggest danger in this race here. I think he is just exceptional. And I still think he's probably the most exciting horse in training. That's Bob Olinger runs in the 2:20. And I'd be absolutely devastated if he's beaten. The first race on the card is the Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle, which has thrown up many, many, many a good horse over the years. It's an early start at 12:15. Vautour won it. Dice Art Dynamo, it's a shade of odds on for Willie and Paul Townend. Quite a free-going sort, but it has been very impressive. Willie also has Hawaii Game, who's unbeaten in 2 from 2. Gilly Billy runs for Henry de Bromhead, who blotted his copybook first time out, but then was very impressive last time. But I'd say Dice Art Dynamo will probably be a different class to those. As regards the best bet on the card, I think that is in the 12:45. It's Division 1 of the Maiden Hurdle, over 2 miles. And Hayao, I thought, was travelling really well in a hot Leopard's Head Maiden Hurdle when he was brought down at second last. Loved the way he travelled through the race. It was his first start. It was only a second start for Gordon Elliott. And I think he could develop into a nice horse. That's Hayau, Hiaou, in the 12:45.
Hiaou, blimey. Okay, right. Never mind all your Bob Olingers and all these other flashy types in Ireland. The highlight on Sunday, Keith, is the 3:10 at Kelso. 3 miles for the Chairman's Cup, a handicap chase, which sees Big River, the mighty Big River, one of the great horses of the 21st century, taken on Mr. Whittaker, along with San Javier and Cash to Ash. I mean, the River, he's the king of Kelso, isn't he? Can he win again, Keith?
He is the king of Kelso. It's the one place where I give that horse. And you wouldn't think it, you know, lazy old so-and-so like him Loving Kill, so it's not that sort of track. You'd think, you know, we'd go to
perhaps
Sandown
he gets
or something.
Car sick. Perhaps he quite likes, you know, a short journey to the races.
Well, it's not, I mean,
not impossible.
How's his record at Musselburgh? It's much closer.
I don't know, is the honest answer. Yeah, that's a fair point. Anyway, what are we doing? Are we going with Mr. Whittaker?
You've done that thing where you've assumed Scotland's all the one place and they're all 10 minutes from each other, haven't you? You've done that thing.
No, I haven't. I'm just saying it's nearer to Lucinda Russell's than most places he races at, that's all.
He'd probably record at Perth would be the one to really check out. But anyway, I don't think either of those two might win that race. I mean, it's a race where, because there's four runners, because they're all good horses, you want to see a market before you really get involved in it. But the one I'm interested in backing, the one I'm most likely to have a bet on, would probably be Sinzavie, who has, he's fourth on this weekend. He was fourth in the 3 mile race at Kempton, double shuffle won it last year. He's actually dropped £9 in the weight since, won at Otoy since, and actually shaped not too badly at Haydock last time. It's a race that, you know, Big River benefited from it being quite a strong pace in the Borders National last time and got up and stayed on really strongly. Mr. Whittaker's never convinced as a proper steer to me. Cashed at Ash as a horse I like, but he was second to Big River, obviously, in the Borders National, and then ran in the Lincolnshire National, where he finished second to Sidi Ishmael, who came out. That was a really hard race at Market Racing on Boxing Day, and Sidi Ishmael, I think the market vibes were that had left a mark on him when he ran at Catterick in the week, and Cash to Ash was the only horse that really raced him all the way to the line, so he might have a similar thing coming out of this. So yes, I will want to see prices, but I don't think Sinzavie will be favourite, and he's a horse I'm most likely to back, so I'll be definitely looking out for when the betting gets put up on that race.
Okay, I've got a little big... Yeah, go on.
Can I just give you the name of one horse that listeners have to watch running? Because I think he's the best horse Nicky Richards has trained since probably Edward, who I thought was going to be an absolute star. Soft Risk runs in the 210. And this horse has some engine. My God. Like, he ran in a desperate race last time at Kelso, and he was 2-9 to win it. But I don't think I've ever seen a horse who has had such little energy taken out of him by crashing through the last two flights. He won by 22 lengths. And he was just absolutely full of running. I'd say this horse could be anything. And I would say he could progress into a grade one horse. Obviously, Nicky likes to take the softly, softly approach. But I wouldn't be surprised in 2 years' time if, hopefully, we're all still here. I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Soft Risk as a kind of, you know, a Cheltenham contender in some shape or form. I think he's that good. He runs in the 210, Soft Risk.
Nice one, DJ. Thank you very much. Before we go, I'm just going to bring you a bit of Big River trivia. I'm just looking back through his record here. When he made his UK debut 7 years ago, it was in a bumper at Newcastle, and he finished second, and the horse that beat him was Brain Power. Fancy that, eh?
Wow.
There you go.
Can you tell me the in-running comments from that race? Was it held up, off-bridle?
I'll tell you what, I did dig them out. I mean, he needed the trip, that was for sure, because that was only over 2 miles. Prominent, ridden in every chance over one furlong out to inside final furlong, kept on, held towards finish. Yeah, see, they didn't know. You have to let him plod round out the back and then bring him through. Okay, Chuck, thank you.
I still say to this day on Big River Bruce, I still say that I stood in the stand when Archibald and Paul Carberry was sitting motionless, whatever, 50 yards from the line in the champion hurdle. But the most astonishing sight I have ever seen at the Cheltenham Festival was Big River in the 2019 Ultima, when he made up the guts of 20, 30 lengths from the last to finish.
It was unbelievable.
It was just the most astonishing thing I've
ever
seen.
It was. Yeah. It was incredible. And that's why we love the river. Okay, chaps, thank you very much for your input. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Bet safely. Maddie's back next Monday, or this Monday rather, to review the action. And we'll be back next Friday for another Racing Postcast. Hope you can join us for that.